You're listening to Passioners Podcast with Norbert Pustai. It's all about meaning, mission, and passion.
Hey everyone, today is a special day because my guest is a good friend, a G rock star, Valeriano Donzelli Vale. Hi Vale. What is your current position and what was your story before you joined G, and what is your career path and what did you do in the past 10, 15 years?
Buongiorno, Norby. Thanks for the very kind introduction. Nobody has ever called me rockstar. I'm a horrible singer, but I appreciate that. So I've been now 14 years in GE. It's actually my first company after graduation in, I've achieved a master's degree in industrial and business engineering. I began in Italy, my career with GE in a small factory on the 1st of March, 2004. And I basically, you know, was hired as a planner buyer in a small manufacturing plant. And those years were an extremely important challenge and lesson for me in entering a new company, but also the business world and you know, moving from university to work environment. It's been transformational. However, 2 years later or in the process, I felt I needed a new challenge. I needed to potentially move abroad, and my manager at that time was promoted to a role in headquarters of the business at that time in EMEA, was in Budapest. And he had proposed me a couple of options, but the first one was to take a bigger job in Italy. And I said, well, I appreciate that, but I'd rather move abroad. And a few months later, he offered me a position as a project manager in Budapest, and I said, yeah. And by the way, I was already... I had already been in Budapest a few times, and I loved the city. So I said, yeah, that's the right thing to do. So I moved to Budapest in 2006. And since then, I have had a number of different roles within supply chain in the business, which is now called Industrial Solution. And it's, in fact, in 2 weeks, it's going to be officially sold to ABB. But an additional 7 years in that business, I grew a lot. I had an opportunity to, grow and change position, always with more responsibilities, every 18 to 24 months. And this has continued until 2013. But a few months earlier than that, I felt I needed a change. It was a tough period for the business, but I also had my... career was probably a bit too quick, and I was having a bit of a breakdown, like emotional or like burnout, if you wish. And I felt it was time for change. And I, after having changed a few bosses, actually interesting because the person that took me to Budapest became again my boss few years later. So it was my first boss and my last boss in that business. And I told him, it's my time to change. And he tried to keep me as much as he could, but finally I could move to power. And I took a job in Vereshchagyaz as a materials manager for the factory. And I, that's how I kind of restarted my career or shifted. And it's been a very good journey in power. I worked in the factory for 3 years. And also there with growing responsibility, I had the opportunity to reshape the team and kind of transform it. And I find interesting that when I came, that team was not necessarily the most popular. And I believe when I left the role, many people really wanted to be part of my team. And in about 2 years ago, March 2016, I had the opportunity to take an executive role in Switzerland as global optimization leader for gas turbine business in power. And as much as I loved Budapest, I felt, my heart, my gut, everything was telling me I gotta go to Switzerland and take this job. Also, because the hiring manager was a fantastic leader. And I say, yeah, I take it. I moved to Switzerland exactly on the same day when I had moved to Hungary 10 years before. So it was effectively 10 years. On 30th of April 2006, I had moved to Hungary, and 30th of April 2016, I moved to Switzerland. And then, last year, for personal reasons, I asked to move back to Hungary. And since January, I'm back. But I must say, my learning curve has been fantastic. And also in Switzerland, I had a lot of time alone, which helped me create a new space for myself and find kind of a new balance. I'm a very social person, and I had a lot of time alone in Switzerland, which contributed a lot to my growth. I found a new dimension, which now I treasure and I find important to keep my balance. So this is a bit of my career, a lot of changes, relatively quick career, if you wish. And if I can say one thing about my career, I think I was very lucky for all the managers I've had, because they were always spending time growing me and wanting the best of me and coaching me. So I'm very grateful for the contribution they had on my development.
Sometimes we are busy with being busy, and you mentioned that you had time to be alone. What did you learn about yourself, or what were these realizations that you had in Switzerland?
Thank you. It's a good question. I guess I learned that I need that time. I need that alone time to refill my batteries. It creates some sort of general awareness and stillness, which I can always go back to when I'm under stress. So I, practice much more meditation. I could read more. I could really take quality time for myself. And interestingly enough, as I said, I'm a very social person, but I didn't necessarily look for a lot of social activities, because I felt that that's what I had to learn in that period. So as I said, when I had the kind of a burnout, 5 years ago, I had very high blood pressure and a bunch of other symptoms that my body was giving me. And now, I have much more responsibilities, if you wish, than I had at that time, but I find myself very peaceful. I can handle most of the situation without stressing out, and that's also the feedback I get from people. So I found a dimension that really helped me deal with various situations of life, and particularly on the workplace. Stress, tough circumstances, dealing with challenges, dealing with potentially conflicting priorities and these kind of things.
So did you take these signs as like an alarm, or like you have to change something? Because when I talk to you, you are a corporate person, but at the same time very spiritual, and you talk a lot about meditation, mindfulness, and you even have your own meetup series called Inspiral Club. Could you tell me something about it, and how did you have this transition in this change?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of elements to answer this question, but I would say in my first 9-10 years of career, I had dedicated a lot of my resources and time to the career itself, and also I had the things I was doing out of work were not necessarily helping me grow. Like, I would watch a lot of football matches and watch a lot of TV. I would say I didn't have enough time for my development other than career, other than work. And I didn't have that space that I could cultivate, after I moved to power. I start to, quit some of the things that I was doing outside of work too. And I create time for myself to do things that would develop me. I read more books. I watched more TED Talks. I listened to podcasts. And I kind of create a positive spiral of inspiration that made me feel like that I was thriving, I was growing, and every day it's a new day and I can learn something new. And that's been a massive change for me. I realized my life is not only GE, you know? And in fact, all the things I've learned as a part of this process, I bring back every day to the work. And that's I think, the beauty of it. But it's been really to cultivate certain skills or certain parts of my life that were being neglected or not considered enough, you know, growing and find peace and find a joy and reduce your stress level. So all these things that make me happy and make me flow.
What are those activities at work which you call them your passions, and how did you find them?
You know, this is a hard question to answer in a few sentences. I think I could talk about it for hours. But I'd say, you know, high level, I love learning, I love teaching, and I love inspiring. Now, how do I apply this to work? So one of the things I particularly enjoy and I always liked in my career is to create processes that work well and keep improving themselves and keep improving the work of people. And this is not only about the technical aspects of the job, which is also very important, but there are other elements, like how do we get people to share more of their knowledge? Many times we have them work in silo and not necessarily talking to each other. How do we do this in a systematic way? How do we create an environment for people to share and to connect? How do we make them continuous and conscious learners and teachers at the same time? You know, I've seen many times processes failing or being inefficient, not because the design of the process was wrong, but because the human aspect of the processes was not being cultivated enough. Example, like people that don't follow the standard procedures because they don't like the process. There are some elements which make it dull or boring. And even if the process in itself is, you know, supposed to be good, if people are not engaged, it's not going to work. So I always, as I became conscious of these dynamics in process improvement, I always try to pay particular attention to the human side of process improvement. The other aspect that I, you know, kind of, it's a passion of mine and I apply to the workplace is to create a positive work environment, where people can feel that they are developing, but at the same time they can find balance, health, and also fun. How do I do it? I try to create a positive and respectful atmosphere. One aspect that I like to highlight is like flexibility. I think people can have a lot of benefit from flexibility and value it. It can be flexibility in their schedules, or when they need to take breaks. What matters is that they can focus on what's important using the time in a way that it's best for them. Of course, there are customers, right? There are a number of stakeholders, so they need to meet, you know, all those requirements, but we need to allow our people some level of flexibility that get them to feel good, to feel healthy, and to thrive. Personally, I really never wanted to know at what time my people start or finish. Micromanage them. I really value what they deliver and how they deliver. And one aspect I would like to demystify a bit is that you cannot always measure people's contributions with numbers. How do you measure someone who creates a positive and uplifting mood in the team? You don't measure that, right? Yet, it's a very precious person in the team, at least to me. And I don't know if I can measure that, but it can create a lot of energies and good vibes that ultimately result in people wanting to be in your team, wanting to stay, and being more efficient. And as I mentioned, I'm a big believer that fun at work is critical. We need a bit more relaxed environment to reduce stress and create engagement, and laughter and fun are great enablers for that. And the irony is that really people are become more effective and efficient if they are glad to go to work every day, no? Maybe another point is you know, the idea of having the calendar always fully booked and having one meeting after the other with no breaks. I always encourage my people, my team, to create spaces for them. You know, take time for breathing or just cooling down their thoughts for a few minutes, take a short stroll outside, or create connection with coworkers. So this is very important. I'm very passionate about leadership, and particularly how its paradigms are evolving in the last few years. I think we can all recognize there are a lot of great managers in the corporate world, but you know, management is more tactical. It's about getting things done. You know, that's what actually the verb to manage means, right? And I think leadership is a bit of another story. It's about getting people on your boat. It's less about hierarchy and more about working in a synchronized and synergistic way. How do we make people work in their strength zone and have them feel they are contributing to something bigger than themselves versus always pointing out the development needs or the things that need to be improved? How do we get them to be in their flow, in their strength zone? We want them to be in that zone most of the time to, you know, have the best version of themselves work. And it's also to inspire them to see beyond what they can see right now, to show them new horizons and perspective. I think that's a bit what leadership is to me. And the last thing I would highlight about what I love in general and I can apply to work is storytelling. You know, finally, nowadays when I introduce myself at workshops or at training or various situations, I say I'm a storyteller. Because I believe storytelling is a fantastic tool to connect people. And you can apply really many times, like you, particularly when you're a people leader. You gather your team on a weekly basis, and you want to, it's particularly difficult when they are remote, right? But you want them to be engaged, and you need to be a good storyteller. You need to connect them to a deeper level versus just showing numbers, KPIs, and how the business is doing. Even talking about business, you can do it through storytelling. And that's you know, something that I keep on learning and I find inspiring for me and for people. Did I answer your question? It was too long.
Excellent. Actually, I felt like I want to join your team. Another topic. So we were talking about the passion, and the other topic, the mission statement, personal mission statement. So you have the Inspiral Club. This is a biweekly meetup where you bring always a topic and you talk about it with a group in pairs, and then you can share with the others. And I remember it was also one of your main topic at one of the events. So why important to have a mission statement and a mission, and what is your mission statement?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting topic. When I realized you were going to ask me this question, I looked back at my first draft of my mission statement, which is about 5 years ago. And I learned about personal mission statement from a fantastic book, which is called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey, that I believe many people know. And there is, by the way, in the book, there is a very powerful technique on how to write a mission statement. But yeah, I look back and I realize that I need to refresh it because there are a lot of things that have changed, but it won't change the core of it. But maybe I'm going to change a few aspects. But I believe mission statement is your like your compass. It gives you direction, and it's an interesting journey to write it. It's not an exercise of a one day. Okay, you can draft it, and then it's evolving. It's always a work in progress. But I guess most people would catch the bulk of it right the first time because it's a lot about values and principles and what you believe in. My personal mission statement has an initial sentence that basically says, "My goal, my aim is to live a fulfilling life and be at peace with myself. And also that my words and behaviors need to reflect my values and my principles. And it also says that I want to contribute to the good of others. I want to inspire them to find their best selves, to develop, and to be fulfilled and at peace, like I wish for myself. And then, this is just kind of an intro, and then I list a number of behaviors that I want to display and some of the values I believe in. I just to mention some of those, I say I want to be kind with everyone, not just with the people that are close to me, like family and friends, but why not with everybody else? I want to make decisions that are not good just for me, but that take into account the overall impact on others and on the planet. For example, in what I consume or what I buy or what I eat. The other aspect which, you know, I find very important for people development, and it's been transformational for me, is becoming more and more aware of my conditioning and my patterns and my triggers to make more and more conscious choices versus automatic responses which are based on stories or on scripts which, you know, do not belong to me or are not aligned to my purpose. Maybe they come from education, they come from TV or from the society or whatever. I want to be able to question all of this and find my way of solving problems, my way of telling stories, my way of using language. Other points are about practicing gratitude every day, being grateful for all the good things that manifest in my life, and seeing the beauty and the good in others versus pointing out what's wrong or what doesn't work. I think that's a pretty big shift of perspective when you are... Our brain is designed, for whatever reason, it had to survive through very tough times during our evolution, and it's primed to look at the negative and to be stressed out and see threats. But now we live in a world that has changed, and we don't have threats every day, I mean life threats. So we can, you know, turn the thing around and look at the beautiful things and concentrate on beauty. That requires a conscious effort to do that, because again, our brain looks at otherwise. But that's what I try to do. Yeah, this is a bit of what's in my mission statement. But again, now you give me a good input to kind of review it and make some updates.
Thanks a lot. Actually, it sounded like the mission statement of the Pope or an inspirational speaker. But how can you apply these beautiful words into your work? And also, so how you can create value in people's life in and out of work?
Well, maybe you should ask them if I create any value. Now, jokes apart, I guess I can refer to some of the feedbacks I get from people. Indeed, quite often people say I inspire them, and that's why I made this word kind of my mantra. People tell me that I can help them look at things from a different angle, and that's really the feedback that I get most of the times. And here's how I see it. You know, people come to me with the story and their opinion and their judgment on the story, their struggles, sometimes dramas. And what I try to do is I help them see those stories from a different angle, from a different perspective. One of the things I try to do is help them release or remove their challenge, remove their judgments on that story. Okay, we tend to be very judgmental. Like we want to call something right or wrong, good or bad all the time. But the reality is that life is very fluid. There is in most cases, a scale of grace between the black and the white. And if we release ourselves from that, wanting to judge stuff, we can open doors for many of those opportunities or scales of gray. And I help them see an opportunity where they normally see a problem or a struggle or a difficulty, or see the bigger picture. What does this do to your entire life? What does it do to the life of others? What does it do to the world? And this applies both to work and outside. So really offering a new spin on things. And, going a bit deeper on that, I go back to the idea of the conditioning and the stereotypes. We live a lot by ideas that have been created by others. And this applies to many aspects of life and applies also to the language we use. So I always like to offer people a new way of like talking, like use a different language, use your own metaphors to describe life. I always make the example of fighting that we use fighting for pretty much a lot of different dynamics. For example, in sport, we like to, you know, use all the motivational speeches in sport that you see in movie are about fighting, or most of them. And I say, no, because, you know, you don't need that to be able to give the best of yourself. And I say, use dancing instead of fighting. Why would I want to fight everything? Like, you fight against the drugs, fight against the sickness. What reality says is when you fight, you actually strengthen your opponent. And I feel it's not a good narrative. Use some other story for yourself, for your when you want to have when you have a challenge. Tell yourself a different story. It's just an example, but I really call this offering new narratives. Okay, so there are many aspects in our world where the language is very negative, and I think we can turn it around and use different language, which fits more to each of us. Yeah, these are things I just, you know, think I'm good at, and I can help others create, and I create some value by really looking at things from a different perspective.
How can you use all of your creativity and passion at one workplace? Is it possible, or you can find a balance by doing other things in your free time, so you have your own work, you have your own position, and then you are also doing public speaking. We met at Toastmasters first time. Also, you do workshops and so many things. So is it possible to find at one place, or you can create your own ideal life?
That's a good question. I've seen different type of personalities and people and how they respond to this challenge. There are people indeed that they can find or their fulfillment and, if you wish, their passion in their job. And, you know, they don't mind working 10, 12 hours and they don't complain about it because that's what they love doing. Okay, of course they have life outside, but, you know, most of their energies are in the job, which is great. I mean, it's good for them. Most people probably have the desire and the need of other activities outside of work to cultivate them their passions and their development. And I'm one of them, but I still like what I do. And I try to kind of combine in a way that I ask myself, can I bring my purpose and my passion to the workplace too? And I do it by just following some of the things I mentioned on when I talk about my mission statement, right? Can I be more, can I be kinder? Can I offer fun? Like, I just, you know, finished a long project, 6 months project, and people were giving me the feedback that, Vale, you brought a lot of fun to the team. It was a tough project, you know, and how do I do it? For example, every time we would meet, I collect the funny sentences and quotes that people would say during the 2-3 days meetings, and, you know, I put them together, and I, on the Friday of the week, I send them the list of funny quotes. In fact, today's Friday, so we just met this week, and I have this task for today to send the memorable quotes email. But yeah, so I try to, you know, apply all of those you know, values and behaviors into my workplace too. This is one way of looking at it. But I don't want to, you know, fool anybody. A lot of the content of our jobs, you know, is sometimes difficult. It can be even, you know, repetitive. Yeah, why not? It is what it is. And I don't think there is anybody that has like 100% score on being fulfilled at work every single moment. Okay, so it goes by percentages. I guess if for the most of the time you're unhappy or you don't find yourself fulfilled, then it's probably time for you to consider another role or another job. But you know, it has to be balanced. There has to be a general sense of purpose in what you do, and if you have the purpose, I think you can also better cope with the task that you don't necessarily like. Okay, like in power, we have this motto of power in the world. And it's a pretty strong purpose, and you know, it can, if you have it in mind and you feel it's good for the world, it can, you know, help you in the difficult times, for example, or when you do things which you don't necessarily you know, love. But yeah, to your previous question, really, I think most people would probably want some space out of work to you know, cultivate and practice their passions and what they like. My recommendation, and you know this, Norby, I say this all the time, is question some of the things you do. I mean, time is precious. Use it to develop yourself. Use it to, you know, to do things that you love. And sometimes there are a lot of activities that we do just because we've always done. And I personally found a lot of more content and you know, better feelings in my life when I dropped things that they didn't have a purpose anymore. And I'm talking about things I've done for 20, 30 years, like watching football. You know, I just don't watch football anymore. You know, I want to suggest that, you know, people that have similar hobbies, they need to, it's just, for me, it was not on purpose. That's it. I just, you know, I use my time to do public speaking, to inspire people, to write articles, you know. So challenge what doesn't give you positive energies, or it's just flat, or it's just numb. What can you do to be more alive? What can you do to be more inspired? And how can you help others get into their, you know, next level? So that's what I have in mind.
Thanks for sharing this. It seems like we do a lot of things which is our routine, and we have to be conscious to realize that it's not something that we like to do, but we just do it for a long time. What is your advice and message for those people who are still in the process to find their passion? So how they can, what was your story, and how did you find these things, and what is your advice them?
That's a hard question. I think one way to answer this is to be connected with yourself and be open to the signals that life brings you. When I say when you connect with yourself, sometimes it's really be attuned with your inner state and with your body. Your body and your emotional patterns will always give you a sense of whether you are aligned or you're not, whether you are centered or not. When your body is stressed, you have physical symptoms. You have your heart pounding. You sometimes feel your stomach is contracted. So I lived under, you know, very stressful times for long, and now every time I just observe, you know, I take few seconds to observe what my body is telling me. I see, oh my God, my stomach is contracted. So it means I'm, for whatever reason, I'm perceiving stress. And many times we just don't look at it. We just do things without realizing what's our state, what's our state of mind. Are we peaceful, or are we, you know, are we in a state of anxiety, in a state of continuous distress? So, you know, be connected with yourself. Listen to what your emotional state is and your body is. That's the first suggestion I have. And when you take note and take account of this and you become conscious, then you can realize, you know, how often this happens during the day and when does it happen. And that helps you realize what are the activities that you either need to remove or you need to change your approach to those. Sometimes you cannot remove yourself from a situation. You are queuing at the post office. I always make this example. You're queuing at the post office and you need to go, right? You need to pay the bill. And there are like 10 people in front of you. You can be miserable and tell yourself all the stories of how much time you're losing and be stressed about it. Or you can take those, you know, 10, 15 minutes or 20 to create something in your mind, to write a text message to someone you know who is in trouble or you didn't write long time ago, you haven't written for a long time, or think about something positive. I mean, there are a number of ways to be in the same situations but with a different mindset. Okay, so sometimes being connected with yourself tells you what are the things you should quit doing. Some other times it gives you a signal that you need to change the way you approach them. You need to look at things from a different perspective. You need to find opportunities. So this is one thing. So getting connected, and then the other signal is really look at the people that inspire you. Be around people that inspire you, because those people show you something that you yet cannot see. And you look at people that say things that you love and you feel their energy, and you say, yeah, why couldn't I do the same? What does this person have that I don't have? That's how it happened to me. Like, I'm very happy I write articles and blog. And I started this about 3 years ago because someone would... I tell you actually the story. Someone came to deliver a training at GE, and I found that person inspiring. So I said, you know, I invite her for a coffee to ask her what's her trick. I have this one of the suggestion I have for everyone, by the way. If there is someone that inspires you, invite the person for a lunch. Do that and hear their stories. Okay, you can always find opportunities. So, and she told me, yeah, I do this and that. I just decide to, you know, do my own business. But that was not the core. At some point, she said, I started to write articles on this platform called Medium. And something clicked. I used to write when I was a teenager or in my early 20s. And then, you know, life takes over. So I lost that. I wouldn't say lost the passion, but I didn't continue. And then I said, wow, yeah, why didn't I write? Why did I stop? I should do it. And then I began writing, and then, you know, few of this Medium publication asked me to write for them. And now I write 40 publications. I made my own publication. And I love writing, right? How do you find? Because I followed inspiration. Somebody inspired me, I, you know, want to talk to the person. So if you have role models, if you have people that make you click and make you feel, wow, you know, that person has a secret. Go find out what the secret is. Talk to the person. That's, I think, and sometimes it will not necessarily, bring a new activity or a new hobby, but it will bring back something that you dropped or give you a new idea. It can be pretty much anything, but you know, that's what I feel. Inspiration is, it's through people. It's mostly through people. And doesn't have to be in physical, like, you know, a podcast, a TED talk, a YouTube video can inspire you, you know, a book. And then that's how you find your way.
I love to listen Vale's thoughts and ideas. And one more thing. So if you find someone who is a big inspiration for you, don't just invite him or her for a lunch, but try to spend as much time as you can. So like my case with Vale, we met at Toastmasters first, and then we met again and again, and then 2 weeks ago I had the pleasure that Vale invited me to make a workshop together with Agnes, with a third facilitator. And every time I talk to Vale, it's a big inspiration. I try to not to use again this word, but I always learn something new, and a new idea, a new thought comes which brings me to new places. And when you realize that you find yourself, find your passion, find your mission, it doesn't really matter if you are a leader at a big company, you are a spiritual leader, you are a teacher, you can create value. So now I just go and I will digest these thoughts and ideas. And thanks a lot, Vale, for sharing with us. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Thank you. It's been a great opportunity. I appreciate taking the time for this. And see you soon, I guess. And thanks again. Bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.